bountiful, for heroes proved in liberating strife, who more than self their country loved, and mercy more than life. America, America, may God thy gold refine, till all success be nobleness and every gain divine.
I just wanted us to pray for America today. So much has gone on even this past week that it can make you feel like, where is God? He is still here. He is still here. But he is looking for his men and women in his army to rise up and take their rightful place and their rightful authority in this kingdom. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to declare over America what it truly is. We are going to declare what we stand for. We're going to declare what we believe, not what we see, not what we hear, but what we know, that we know, that we know, that we know. It's not an action or an accident that it was one nation under God. One nation. The founding fathers knew that there would be multiple nations coming to this nation. But when you come to this nation, you become one. There's so much focus on diversity, but we need to remember unity. When you come to this country, you are a melting pot. You are saying, yes, I might be from this country or that country or that country or that country, but when I come here, I am proud to be an American. And what that stands for. So, Father, we just lift our hands today and we just say your word. From 2 Chronicles, it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, will seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. And that's what we say today. Start with us, Father. If there's things in us that need to be changed, change us. Forgive us, Father, from any of our sins. Wipe us clean, Father. Clean the slate, Lord, so that we can go out and be the lighthouse. That's the image you keep giving me, Father. America is a lighthouse. It is still a lighthouse. Regardless of what anybody else says, it is still a lighthouse. But the Lord is saying today the windows are dirty. They need to be cleaned so the light can go through boldly again. And that's what we say today. Start with us. Start with Redeemed Church, Father. I don't look at us anymore, Father. People say, oh, well, just that little church over there in Vancouver. No. If one puts 1,000 to flight, just imagine in this room, there's at least 20. That's 20,000 of the enemy that's put to flight. Just one church. And Father, you said we have authority. And that's what we declare today. We have authority in the name of Jesus to speak over our cities, to speak over our states, and to speak over our country and say, enough is enough. And in Jesus' name, Father, we just declare today, this reign of evil ends. No more. Father, your word says, no weapon formed against us as a nation is going to prosper, even if it comes from within. No weapon. So every weapon that has risen up against this nation, we declare you are destroyed in the name of Jesus. You are wiped out. Every demonic force, we speak to you, and we wrestle not against flesh and blood. This is not people. These are spirits behind these people. And we say in the name of Jesus, you are bound. You are no longer in authority in America. We bind you in the name of Jesus, and we loose angels to go forth right now, breaking through strongholds, breaking through. Break them down. Tear them down in the name of Jesus. And we just praise you and we thank you, Father, that you are using your people to clean the windows of a lighthouse. Across America, I call on every church, on every angel of those churches, the pastors of the churches, and I say, wake up. Wake up in the name of Jesus. Start cleaning your own houses so that we can be lights to the people around us. Father, I just thank you for the protection that you have over America. It says that you will refute every voice, every word that rises against her. You will refute it. We thank you today for every voice that has come against what America stands for, what America was created for, what America was established for. And we see those voices not by being silenced by us. You said you would silence them. We see those voices being silenced. And Father, I just thank you. No, enemy, you're trying to tell me that it doesn't matter what we're praying, but I know it matters what we're praying. I know that my words are powerful and effective because I'm speaking the word of God. And you cannot withstand the word of God. When your people are speaking it, you have to flee. Lord, I praise you and I thank you that when the enemy rises up a standard against us, like a flood, Lord, your word and your power wipes it out. And that's what we thank you for, a flood starting on one coast and going to the other coast. And like waves do, it's not going to stop there. It's going to come back again and go back again and go back again and go back again until hearts are made pure and lives are made right. Today, in the name of Jesus, we call for every person that has been apathetic toward what's been going on. We say, in the name of Jesus, you are on fire today. The fire of God is going out over our nation, reigniting hearts and minds that serve the Lord at one time and maybe have fallen away. They're coming back. Churches are going to see the greatest outpouring of people coming in that they've ever seen because of the fire of God that's going to hit people, the hunger and the passion. And Father, I just thank you and I praise you for those that feel that they are weary in well-doing. Your word says, do not be weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap your reward. That means, Father, we need to grab hands with the one on the right and the ones on the left as your body and as your children and say, we will stand together. We don't have to do this alone. You don't have to be weary on your own. We will stand together and we will say, we will not give up until our eyes see what our hearts know. The faithfulness of God over America. America, you are strong in the Lord and the power of his might. America, the peace of God is touching the hearts and the minds of all those who live in you. America, no weapon formed against you is going to prosper. America, you are going to rise up and take your rightful God-given place in the world to be a light, to be a light. You were founded on the Word of God, and you are still founded on the Word of God. The foundation has never changed. People might have altered what the house looks like, but the foundation is still the same, and it is rock solid. Devil, we serve you. Notice, you will not touch one more child in this nation for evil. Not one more. From the womb up, you will not destroy our children any longer. Father, I thank you for people that you have placed in authority in strategic places. Their voices are changing. Their voices are going to change. Their voices are going to change. Their voices are going to change. We just praise you, Father, for your protection upon our children. For the future. That's really what the enemy's after, the future. No. No. You're protecting our children by the power of your name. The name that is above every name. And Father, I just praise you and I thank you for touching every person that is in government from the president down. And I pray, Father, clean house. Clean hearts. Those who need to be removed will be removed. And those that are there because they are on purpose there, change their hearts. Let them come back to you. And just like Saul became Paul, that they're going to go from one side to the other side, and everyone is going to be astounded at the change. And everyone will say, this has to be a miracle of God. And you will get all the glory, Father. For the plans that are in the workings to do harm to our nation and our children and our rights and our freedom, we speak to you now in the name of Jesus, and we say every evil work is dying. Every evil plan is diminished and destroyed. I thank you, Father, in these next elections, people that are supposed to be in offices are going to win by landslides. No matter how many forgeries or altercations or altering that the world tries to do, they will not be able to undo what you have set in motion. Men and women that will rise up for you, Lord, that will be public with their words about you, that will be unashamed of the gospel. And we just praise you, Father, for blessing America today. Bless every family that's ever lost a loved one, Father, in this nation that served, that sacrificed, from our military to our first responders, Lord, even to just normal, everyday people who gave their life for freedom, for someone else to be free. We just pray you bless their families today. Give them peace in Jesus' name. And as this is a day of remembering those who have gone before us, Father, I just pray, Father, it would not be with heaviness of heart, but it would be with hope and expectation of seeing them again. That there would be such peace on people, such unexplained joy in families, as you heal hearts and heal minds. You have a work for us to do, Father, in these last days. And we just say, Redeemed Church is saying, we are willing to stand in the gap for our nation, for our nation. Because we believe, God, with you, nothing is impossible. Nothing is too far gone. Nothing is so bad that the hand of God can't reach down and save. Thank you, Lord, for blessing America. Thank you, Lord, for drawing her back to you. In Jesus' name. Well, we're finishing up our series today of Therefore, Do Not Worry, But Rather Trust. And it's so important. It's becoming more and more evident that there's a reason why the Lord has this series. And this past week, we saw that, and a lot of people began worrying. Fear became rampant in America. But can I tell you something? Fear doesn't have to become rampant. Your faith can become rampant. Your faith can amp up to that place. Every morning we pray over our entire district. And Washington State and Clark, they get thrown in now because I have kids that go there. But we pray over all those campuses and we bind evil and we loose love. And we just say no weapon formed against them is going to prosper. And it's powerful. Your words, when you're quoting the word of God over something, you're setting something into motion. So we should be every single day, if you have kids or grandkids or even people you know, maybe you live in a district, everybody lives in some district, find out what those schools' names are and you declare over them the word of God, that no weapon formed against them is going to prosper. Amen? We have that authority. But you're not going to be able to have authority if you are covered in worry and fear. Because what do worry and fear do? They bind you up. And I'm here to tell you today, the Lord wants to take those binds, things that are binding you, and destroy them. And how do we do that? By trust. Whew. So we learn first that we have a tithe, then you have a revelation, an understanding, security in the Lord, and the last one is timing. And this is probably the one that most people don't like. Because we live in a drive-through society. You want something, you drive through, you get it, and you go home. Now you can drive up to get your groceries, and I've seen people sitting in their car just fuming because their groceries are not to their car, and they've been there for 2 seconds. Where are my groceries? Right? That's the society we live in. And a lot of times people look at that as how God relates. But I'm here to tell you, that's not how God works. In fact, let's just clarify, a day is 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years as a day. So his time frames are going to be different, but his timing is always right on time. Amen? So today we're going to be looking at timing, and we're looking at the story of Abraham. And in Genesis 12, verses 1 and 4, we see that Abraham got his word from the Lord. And he says, Abraham, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land I will show to you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord spoke to him, and Lot went with him, and Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And this is the first place that we see Abraham gets told about his future. Let me ask you this. He's 75 years old. Has he had any kids yet? Nope. He has not had any children yet. No children. And he's 75. And the Lord said, I'm going to bless you and make a great nation out of you. I'm sure that Abraham did this. Are you talking to me? I don't even have any kids, right? You can imagine the things that are going through his mind. But see, what happens when you get a word from the Lord is you can't lose sight that God has a perfect timing and that there are things along the way that we need to be learning. I remember when I was 18, I was sitting in a worship service, and then afterwards we had a prophet that came, and he was speaking and sharing, and he looked at me and he said, God has someone for you. I was 18. It's all I wanted, to be a mom and a wife, right? Woo! I was so excited, and he just went this whole thing about how this man would be so incredible, that we would minister as a team, that people wouldn't be able to tell where one stopped and one started, because there would be such a flow, and that his heart would be so like mine toward God, and on and on and on. I was 18, right? So what happens when you get something like that? Like Abraham, you get a word from the Lord, right? You start expecting that right now. Right now. It's going to happen tomorrow. It's going to happen tomorrow. I'm sure I'm going to be married tomorrow. I'm sure I'm going to be married tomorrow. My tomorrow was 9 years later. And there was time in between. But lots of things happened in my life in between that prepared me for what God had in store for us. That prepared me to be the wife and the mom I needed to be. Things that I needed in my life. You said, well, why did it take 9 years? I don't know. But I learned a lot of things during that time that I've been able to use in my life. I went a lot of places that I never dreamed I would go and was able to minister to people I never dreamed I would minister to. And then when the Lord decided to bless us, it was bless, right? Four under five in 5 years. I mean, that's being dumped on with blessings. Amen? And then a few years later, we got our church. Another huge blessing. My dream. I'm living my dream. But it took time. And timing is so important. Abraham was 75 years old when the first word came to him. And he got that word from the Lord, and what did he do? He left. He stepped right out. He took that word, and he went with it. And that's what we have to do. We have to take the word the Lord gives us, and we got to start marching out and doing what he's called us to do. And we see over time throughout Genesis that Abraham was led to different places, and throughout Genesis 15 and 17, there were different times where Abraham was reminded again of the promise of God. But I noticed something I've never noticed before. And that was in, where is it? Oh, it's on the card. That is in Genesis 12, not 12. Oh, I wrote down the 14, sorry. Genesis 14, 20. I noticed something that I never noticed about Abraham. Right before God gives him a real revelation and explains to him that he is going to have one born in his own house, something happens in Genesis 14. He tithes. I was like, oh, Lord, he tithed. He tithed, and then he got a revelation. Right after that, in chapter 15, he gets a revelation from the Lord of what he's going to be doing, and it's going to be a son from his own house, and he gains understanding over the next couple of chapters until we see his security is truly based in the Lord, because when the Lord came to him as an angel in Genesis 21, the angel says, you're going to have a son. I'm going to return a year from now, and you're going to have a son. And then what happened? A year from then, he had a son. But he was 75 when the first word came that he was going to be blessed and be a great nation to chapter 21, and in between those two chapters, 12 and 21, was 25 years. 25 years of timing. And a lot of things happened all along the way. Part of that, I believe, was Sarah, before she had her son, if you look at the chapter before 21, it says she was so beautiful that the king in the land wanted her for his wife. She was 89 years old, and she was still desirable. I believe that the Lord was renewing her body so that she could bear a child, that he was fixing what needed to be fixed so that she could bear a son. Things are happening. Things are changing that we can't see all the time. And that's where you have to trust the Lord's timing for things. I know we want it to be yesterday. I know we want to be living that promise today. But when God has a timing, it's perfect. And when I look back in my life, when I became a mom, I didn't want to go and do anything else. I didn't want to be anywhere. I just wanted to be a mom. I did not mind that I stayed home when other people went out places. I loved it. I loved it. I would just walk around every day. I'm a mom. 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 I loved being with my kids. We watched home videos and they're like, Mom, how did you deal with all that noise? But I didn't see it as noise. It was joy. There were people making that noise in my house, right? And when we came to the time to do this church, there has never been a time where we've been like, oh, bummer. We got to go to church today. Oh, man, we got to go to church today. No, we never do that. We get up in the morning as a family. We're excited to go because it was a timing. And when you're walking in God's timing, then things work out correctly and you're excited about them. Somebody say amen. So when we're dealing with trust, the last final thing that you can trust the Lord with is you can trust Him with His timing. Oh, but Shelley, I know, 9 years. 9 years. Let me talk to you about 9 years. 9 years of waiting, watching people that I had in the youth group when I was 19 and 20, they got married before I did, and I was their bridesmaids. And mom's coming up to me going, "You did such a great job with my daughter. What happened to you?" I'm like, "I don't know. I don't know. Lord, did you forget me?" Right? You know? Until I finally said, "You know what, Lord? I trust your timing. I trust your plan." And I gave it back to Him. And I said, "Lord, I trust you. And I was going about my life, doing what I wanted to be doing for the Lord. I wasn't even thinking about that. Isn't that funny when you stop thinking about something so much, all of a sudden that's what God does in your life? It's because that thing has stopped being the number one thing. And He's back in His rightful place. And then Steve walked into my life. Well, actually, I walked into his life. And look at where God has taken us. And it's amazing. It doesn't feel like we've been married this long. It doesn't feel like it. It feels like yesterday. But that's what happens when you trust the timing, and God's timing does happen in your life. You're like, "What was I so sad about all those years? Look at what God's done," right? He has a perfect timing for the things in your life, and He will be faithful. Say it with me. He will be faithful. Whatever promise He has given you, do not worry, but rather trust. Trust Him. Keep tithing, right? Keep looking for the revelations that He has for you. Grow in your understanding of who God is so you have security in Him, and then trust His timing because it's perfect. Grab your tithes and offerings this morning. Father, I just thank You so much for this series that You have given us. Therefore, do not worry, but rather trust. And that's what we do, Father. We trust in You with all of our hearts. We're done leaning on our own understanding. We're done trying to figure it out ourselves. We trust in You, Father. And like we were discussing at our women's Bible study, we're going to continue to say, "All is well, all is well, all is well, until all is well." We praise You, Father, for that attitude of faith that we are going to walk in as Your children. I praise You and I thank You. Bless every seed that is sown today, 100-fold harvest, Father, so that we can be blessed to be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Let's pray with this message. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank You for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what Your Spirit would say to us today. And we give You all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to continue on our message entitled Reclaiming the Family. This is actually the same outline. This is, I think, our third week of using the same outline because there's just a lot in it, right? And we don't want to be in a hurry. Praise the Lord. God is doing things, and in the name of Jesus, we are reclaiming the family. Love our living room set here. I haven't really actually used it. I kind of preach from it, but when I get home from work or whatever, one of my favorite things to do after I get all cleaned up is find my couch. I've got my remote control here, and I just kind of put my feet up, have a little reclining thing, and a lot of times on the weekends especially, everybody comes into the living room. I mean, the whole family. And we'll actually just be piled on each other. I mean, we got couches and chairs and all that kind of stuff. But like, remember the story of the Last Supper, the Lord's Supper? And it says that John was reclining on Jesus' chest and looked up and talked to Him. That's exactly how our kids look last night. We were watching movies and eating snacks and stuff, and they're all like blankets and kind of cuddled up with each other. We love each other, amen? But the living room is a great illustration of a place for the family to be a family. Amen? I don't have a man cave. No, nothing against man caves or whatever, but I'm not looking for a place to hide from my family. I don't go to the gym. I have the gym in my garage. Because if someone needs me, they walk out in the garage and there I am. Right? I don't take private vacations away from my family. Dad just needs some time away at the beach. No, we don't. If you remember last week, we started in Genesis chapter 1. And what's one of the first things God said about Adam? It's not good for him to be alone. Us guys, when we're by ourselves, we start getting loopy. We need each other. Amen? We need our families. Praise the Lord. But our foundation text is Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. And it says this, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father." Somebody say, Father. See, God is, he's Father. If you're born again, he's Father. He's not everybody's Father. That's where the world gets it mixed up. Oh, he's everyone's Father. No, he isn't. If they're not born again, I guess they can call him the man upstairs. I guess they can really call him somebody up there. There is somebody up there. But he wants to come, the word says, and make his home in us. Right? He wants to erase the distance. That's what the blood of Jesus did, isn't it? Erase the distance between God and his family. Hallelujah. So we call him Father. Somebody say Father. When we pray, we don't say, hey, God. We say, hey, Father. And we commune with him all day long. Hallelujah. Amen. For this reason, we bow our knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family, say family, in heaven and earth is named. Today, we're going to really make a good attempt. Randy's going to get me there. We're going to the cemetery up in Dundee, Oregon, where some of my family has been planted. There's life and goods in that cemetery from, goodness, probably 100 years ago. Right? And it's important to some of the patriarchs of the family that we show up and honor and make sure the weeds are out and make sure it looks nice and all these kind of things, right? But it's cool to know that's all the greater reminder that we have family on earth, but we also have family in heaven. I don't think my grandfather cares much about what his grave looks like today. But it's important to show honor. Amen? And there'll be people planting the flags tomorrow on graves of the military. I mean, these things are, what are we talking about? We're talking about honor, right? So we honor God, we honor our family, we honor our country. Hallelujah. "That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love." Somebody say, it's a love thing. Amen? A marriage is not it is a contract, but it's a commitment for life. It's about a love relationship. And I can tell you, she's not in the room right now, but I can tell you, there's been many times my wife has chosen to love me. It's not about these Hallmark movie feelings. Right? Or whatever. What's the news station now? What? GAC. Check out GAC. It's better, I've heard, now than Hallmark. But you know what I'm saying? It's not about warm, fuzzy feelings. And praise God for the warm, fuzzy feelings. But it's deeper than that. 22 years later, and that woman still loves me. Hallelujah, right? It's a wonderful thing. "That Christ may dwell in our hearts of faith, that we being rooted and grounded in love." Well, how do we stay in love? We love God first. We love God's word first, right? And then his Spirit comes inside of us and enables Shelley to love me anyway. But because she loves me anyway, that's not permission for me to treat her any way I want to. She's not my doormat. She's not my old lady. She's not my ball and chain. She's my wife. And I love her. Sometimes loving her means coming to her and saying, honey, I apologize to you. Or, honey, you know what? You're right about that. Amen. My wife sets the tone for the household. If I come in and try to make my own priorities in the household, praise God. I mean, there's some things I can do, but for the most part, mama. I mean, I remember in our home, if dad wasn't feeling good, it was kind of a bummer, but if mom wasn't feeling good, man, it's like the world stops, you know? Somebody say, love mama. Hallelujah. We got birds peeking in our windows today. Something that reminds me of the birds nesting outside, and look at it, he's peeking at us right now. Hey, little birdie. We got the word bird right there. But one thing that reminds me this time of the year, even if it's raining outside, it's getting light earlier, and you open the window and you hear the birds. It's a sign of a new day. And I believe prophetically, I hear that in my spirit. Right? Like the morning that Jesus raised again. Right? I hear that in my spirit. The birds chirping and all that. It's we're entering into a new day in this nation. Right? Hallelujah. Things are getting better. Before the rapture, things are getting better for God's people. The difference is beginning to come wider and wider and wider and clearer and clearer and clearer. Until trumpet sounds, we out of here. But I hear the birds, and there they are. There. Hallelujah, right? But it helps to bring that attitude home. Right? I try not to come home in a bad mood. Not everything always goes smoothly throughout the day. Do you hear it? But God, somebody say, but God, but love is in charge of our lives. Hallelujah. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Glory to his name forevermore. Well, we're going to look today at Genesis chapter 3. Somebody say, I'm filled with all the fullness of God, which means we're very loving people. It's like the birds are saying amen out there. Oh, praise the name of Jesus. But you know what? We need to look at where the problem began, right? Where the issue began in the family, because the enemy has kind of had his way to an extent in our nation because he had his way in the family first. And it didn't start with the liberals. It didn't start with the left-wing extremists. It didn't start with Planned Parenthood and the Democratic Party or Republicans that are fake Republicans or whatever, right? It didn't start with all of that. It didn't start with Hollywood and the media. No, it started in the Garden of Eden. It's good to know where it began, right? So we're getting to that place now in our study, but Genesis chapter 3, we're going to focus there. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of the tree of the garden, of any tree of the garden? Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? See, the devil, one of his biggest strategies, and we got to understand something about our enemy. One of the basic thing in the military is know who your enemy is, right? Understand the enemy. The devil has been around a lot longer than anyone in this room. He's been tricking people for generations, and he uses the Bible to do it with Christians, right? And you notice right here, the first thing he does is question. Question God. Question the person here, the woman, in regards to something God told her. But it's important to remember something here about Eve. God didn't tell Eve don't eat from the any of this tree. He told Adam, and Adam told Eve. So even though there's, you know, God took the woman from the side of the man and they ran alongside each other, God's coming to the man first. As men, we cannot shake off our responsibility as head of our home, as priests of our home, our responsibility to lead our family spiritually. Hallelujah. All the men of God say amen. Right? And if as we read on, you're going to see that Adam was standing right there. But he was so entranced with her beauty and so in love with this woman that he just allowed Satan to come and literally steal everything God had given him. Let's read on, right? Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, now the man should have stepped in right there and just decapitated that serpent, right? But the woman said to the serpent, see, now we're having a conversation. What do ladies like to do? Talk. And that's okay. They like to converse. Shelly a lot of times has to drag stuff out of me. But tell me more. How was your day? Oh, it was good. And? And you know, we help each other with that, right? But how many know we don't need to have a conversation with the devil? Right? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of trees of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, right, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. So Adam conveyed to his wife, he couldn't say, honey, didn't you see my text about that tree? Didn't you get my email? No, he was right there listening to this, right? Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Now, what was the devil's original sin? Pride. I will set my throne higher than the throne of God. That's always been the devil's desire, is to be higher than God, which is what got him cast out of heaven. There was no conversation at that moment, right? So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. Adam's standing right there. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. So see, there wasn't anything mystical about this tree. It was probably looked identical to every other tree. It wasn't glowing. Have you ever seen the old cartoon Beauty and the Beast, the cartoon version, and the rose is like glistening in the glass? She didn't lift off a piece of glass from over the tree. She didn't have to step over laser beams. And no. God simply said, this one's mine. That's where the command was. Right? But she ignored the command, got talked out of it, whatever. The devil lied. The devil is also the same, yesterday, today, and forever, isn't he, right? So they ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Immediately, shame. This is where, somebody say, this is where the problem began. Right there. All the stuff we're seeing today is simply a continuance of what happened right here. This is where the devil got into the family and destroyed it and caused corruption and shame and sorrow and pain and remorse and divorce and all these crazy things, right? So that immediately the glory of God departed from them and they were covered with shame. Oh my gosh, we are totally naked and we're ashamed of it. Right? Then they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. So see, it caused a wedge immediately between them and God and them and one another. They were robbed right there, right? And the Lord God said, called to Adam and said, "Where are you?" Like he didn't know, right? Where are you, Adam? But really, he could have even been saying spiritually, "Where are you?" Right? So he said, so Adam said, now here's what we can call the blame game now. Right? So he said, Adam answers, "I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid." See, fear entered the environment at this point. The Lord was sharing some things with me the other day about angels. And he was like, you know, another reason why, because the word says angels desire to look into the salvation that we have. And they're just like, you know, when we see them, we're going to be awestruck by the beings that they are. But they're also awestruck when they look at us. And he said, you know, one of the reasons why they're really amused with human beings, because angels do not get the concept of fear. They fear nothing. Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome to think about? "I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." And God says, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?" Now, how many know when you mess up with God, don't try to hide it? Number one reason, he already knows. Like any good father will just try to bring the kid to confess. "Tell me what you did." Right? Then the man said, here we go, verse 12, "The woman..." And then he takes it a step further. "Who you gave me." Right? "The woman who you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate." So Adam immediately blames Eve and blames God. Do you see the issues that have come on the family because of where it all began with the first family, right? And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent." The serpent. "The devil made me do it," right? "The serpent deceived me and I ate." So the Lord said to the serpent, right? "Because you have done this, you are cursed. More than all the cattle, more than every beast of the field." We don't know what the serpent looked like back then, but the serpent itself probably was a beautiful animal, right? But because of this, all of serpents, the devil took on, you know, the form of a serpent here and was deceiving the woman. But all of serpents became one of the most hated reptile, if it's a mammal, whatever they are, in the world. Most people hate snakes, right? "More than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed." Now, if you'll notice right there, if you have your Bible open, the second seed is capitalized. God is already prophesying the answer. Jesus is coming to fix this. Hallelujah forevermore, right? "I will put enmity, you put enmity between the man and woman and me, but her seed is going to restore what you stole." Glory to God forevermore, right? "He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel." And I love the scene in the Passion of the Christ where Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane and the serpent comes up to him and Jesus is travailing in prayer, but he makes his decision, "I'm going to do this," stands up and just crushes that snake under his foot, right? Jesus bruised his heel, crushing Satan's head. Hallelujah, right? "To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children." Really, God isn't doing this to anybody. Sin is what did this. Sorrow, pain, all of that stuff, shame. What have we already seen? Sorrow. We've seen shame. We've seen fear. Now we're seeing pain. We're seeing curse. All of that stuff that we see playing out in the world right now is from this original attack on the family, right? Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Amen? So this issue between men and women, who's in charge, right? Well-behaved woman never made history, or whatever those bumper stickers you see, right? The woman ought to be reigning over the man, and the man wants to, you know, the woman is a sex object, the woman is property, the woman is this, the woman is that, a doormat. All that stuff began here, and it ended with the Lord Jesus Christ, for those who come to him, right? Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree which I commanded you, saying you shall not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake. And every husband needs to know that our wife, we love them, but God holds us first responsible for our household. And I can tell you, because I married such a wonderful woman, there's been very, 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 very few times that I've ever had to say, honey, that's just not what we're going to do. But there's been a couple, right? There's been a couple of times in our life where I just had to say, that's just not what I'm feeling, right? And we flowed together, hallelujah. But there are times when the husband just has to stand up and be, you know, God is holding the man responsible first. He said, you don't listen to your wife first. You listen to me first. I can tell you this. Shelly is every bit as much pastor as I am, but I'm not doing what I'm doing right now because of her. I'm doing what I'm doing right now because God called me to do it, right? But I'll tell you what, a lot of me wants to say, we're better together. There are so many things that Pastor Shelley is that make this house a home. Glory to God. That's all I'm going to say about that right now. That's kind of another topic. And this actually is where we're going to close for the day. And we'll come back to this in a couple weeks for a couple more messages. We're going to go into how God redeemed the family. Because he has redeemed the family, and that's why we can reclaim the family and stomp on the devil's head. But it's important to know this is where it began. And in fact, there's one more verse there that I was looking at in verse 13. I got one more thing to share with you. I just remember from this morning the Lord brought this up. From verse 13 there, when he says, the Lord God said to the woman, what is he? And she says, the serpent deceived me. Boy, don't you know, that's the problem in the world, deception, right? And the word deceive means in the concordance to lead astray, to delude, or to seduce. That's exactly what the devil does, right? And it's interesting because there's a verse in 2 Timothy, and it's cool. I thought of this verse, but I didn't realize it has exactly the same numbers. It's also chapter 3, verse 13. And it says this, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot, oops, I'm in the wrong chapter. Chapter 3, verse 13. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse. Are we seeing any of that? And women, by the way, can be put in that too, right? Evil men and women and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So those who are of the truth, of the light, we can believe for better and better. Somebody say better and better. With Jesus, we are reclaiming the family, binding that spirit of deception off of the family, off of our nation, off our leaders, off our government, off our schools. But it all starts in the house. We have to be people that know the difference between good and evil. Between right and wrong, or we could even say between right and left. And we need to be people that embrace God's word in the home. In the home. Somebody say in the family, right? And then that will make a great impact on what's happening in our country. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. If the devil can lead people astray into delusion, seduce them, we can believe God by the power of the Holy Ghost to lead them to the light, to lead them to the truth. Amen. Let's all stand and pray. In Jesus' name. So, Father, we thank you for this word, for the family. We reclaim the family in the name and by the blood of Jesus right now. We bind Satan. Satan, take your hands off your lying, deceitful tongue. Shut your mouth. Jesus didn't have a conversation with you. He told you, shut up and come out of him. So we tell you, Satan, shut up and get out of the family. We will trust the Lord our God with all our hearts and serve him with all of our lives. We'll give you all the praise and all the glory. God bless America and God bless the family. And bring healing and restoration. Hallelujah. And this would include nationalities too. You notice God he said male and female. He didn't say white and white, black and black, brown and brown, yellow and yellow. If it's a man and a woman and they love Jesus and love one another, that's okay. That's a blessing of the Lord. So we're also people that stand, Lord, remind us to stand against racism in the family. Hallelujah. We watch how we talk about people that don't exactly look like us. We honor the differences in ethnicity. And we celebrate those things as people God has created. Even to the point of if one of my children decided that they wanted to marry someone of a different race, of a different nationality is a better word than race, because we're all, that's the point, we're all of the human race. But if one of my kids fell in love with someone that loves God, call a God in their life, and they're of a different nationality, that's a blessing of God. I was listening to, I think it was Creflo Dollar the other day as we're closing up, and he was talking about, you know, racism in the church. And he was like, I know some people say, oh, I got black friends. He's like, whatever. He's like, well, what? He said, then I had a lady come to me and said, my son-in-law is black. And he goes, oh, we're in the house now. We're in the house. Hallelujah. Somebody say it's all about love. Love God, love his word, love the truth, love people. We're reclaiming the family in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen.